Blessed Father, we want to return praises and adoration to you, Lord, for another privilege to stand in your presence this afternoon. After you have addressed our needs in diverse ways in the morning, thank for the blessings we have received so far since we have entered this tabernacle. You have shown yourself gracious and merciful. Thank you for the healings, the deliverances. Thank you for your intervention in the matters of your people. We are grateful that we have a God that is interested in everything that concerns us. In fact, you said that you are the present help in time of trouble. In time of need, you are always there. So we are grateful. The Lord, before a problem comes up, there's already a solution. We are grateful to you. Lord, this gives us joy and gladness of heart to approach you when there is any challenge. Because we know that before the challenge came, you have already proffered the solution. Thank you, everlasting Father. And we believe, Lord, there will be testimonies, Lord, already in the heart of your people because of what you have done. We bless you. You have said in your word that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimonies. We are grateful to you. Help us this evening also, the little time that we have to fellowship around your word. Lord, may your spirit inspire and anoint the same in our heart as you did to Abel. Lord, when Father hear them, we were speaking to them. Thank you, Eternal Father. May faith mix with what we hear, so that, Lord, we can benefit very greatly. And your name alone will be glorified. Lord, what you have promised to do in our midst, healing, deliverances, taking the saint to higher ground, filling with the Holy Spirit, opening the people's eyes to see you, to know you better. Lord, may you accomplish this in our lives. And many other desires of the heart of your people, Lord, may be granted to your glory. Help us as we surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. First, I want to appreciate the brethren. I couldn't remember that on Wednesday, so I don't know, because of the shortness of time, to appreciate you for praying for me when I was after the convention. Because of the stress that brought out what was already in the body. You know, it was not the stress alone that caused that. It was, you know, accumulation of this and the rest of it, which I had already felt before the convention. So, and we had to put the body into a little rest so that it can regain the strength. So God bless you for your prayers for me. So we are very grateful. We thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Let's open the Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, that book of Hebrew is a special part of the Bible. All right. We will just read let's read from verse 1. I will start to stop at a good point. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being one of God, obtains not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an act to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham. Verse 9. By faith. Yes, I know. I know. Verse 9. By faith. May the Lord have this blessing to the reading of his words. Let's be seated. Because I don't want to keep on standing, I will just go to verse 17 by faith. I'll come to verse 20 by faith, verse 21 by faith, verse 22 by faith, verse 23 by faith, and then we continue to talk. That's why I said the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is a special book. And we know that if there's still time, though we have been told by the prophet that there's no more history. No more history. Our age ends the whole thing. If there happens to still be another age, our testimony will be part of what people will be referring to. And they will be saying by faith. By faith. By faith. Praise be to God. This evening, just because of the short time, on Wednesday, we were speaking on the law that guides the word of God. And we saw that there are certain things that we do not need to pray about. It's just following the principle that's already been given by the scripture. So if we follow that, we get the results. Once God has promised anything, whatever he has promised, if we follow the instructions for us to receive what he has promised, we will get it. Praise be to God. So if I go back to that, that might take us, we might not be able to hit what we have this evening, because of this small time that we have. And so, we continue with our thoughts, the law that guides the word of God. And that's faith. Faith. In the sermon, key to the door. The prophet told us that Jesus Christ is the door. This house and this tabernacle that we have entered into, we have doors that lead to this place. Let's say it's only a door that leads here, and there are resources here, there are facilities here. Nobody can enter except you have access to that door. And Jesus is the door to all promises of God. Praise be to God. So give us the sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Let's briefly look at Christ there as we move forward. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We read from paragraph 121. Are you there? Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
He is the principality
of the entire Bible. He is the principality of the entire Bible. What is
the principality? In other words, that is the core of what the Bible, the center point of the discussion of the scripture, the subject matter, what the Bible addresses is Christ. What that Bible is all about is nothing else but Christ. In Christ is the bride. But Christ is the center, is the principality. If you read the Bible and you don't see Christ, can you move on? If you don't see Christ in every verse of it, go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you missed something. It is possible to read the Bible and pass it, and you don't see something there. Father Adam, we are told by the prophet, was speaking to both Abel and Cain in the beginning, after the fall. And Adam told them that it was what God used to make atonement for them to return back to him, was the blood, because blood caused the fall. The prophet told us when Adam said that, Abel caught it. Now that was not Abel on his own catching it, it was God that made Abel to read between the lines. It was God that made Abel to understand the application of what Adam said. It was God that made Abel to see the meaning to what Abel said. It was God that made Abel to see the meaning to what Adam said, rather. Cain was also there. He had the same thing. Did he not? He had. But he didn't make any meaning to him. He didn't care about the application. When it was time for that word that Adam told them to be used, when God asked them to come and worship, Cain came and worshiped based on his own opinion. But Abel came and worshiped based on the understanding that was given to him of what Adam said. You can read the Bible and miss something. And it means that every part of the Bible is talking about Christ. And Christ is our life. In Christ is everything that we have need of. Let's move on. The Bible is Christ. He is the Word. When you read, in the beginning God created, there is Christ. See? From that to Amen. In Revelation is every word testifying of Jesus Christ. That is why these other books that they call the second book of Daniel, the book of Maccabees, has a purgatory and stuff like that. See, it's not spoken of in the scripture. See, it doesn't theme up with the rest of it. There's no place to place purgatory in there. There's no place to place intercession of saints and the rest of things. There's no place in there for that. There's no place for a denomination. There's no place for a creed outside of the Bible. You see, when you see those things, they just don't come into picture. And that is why people have had those, their jigsaw puzzles all mixed up. See, they can't make it right. Same yesterday, today, and forever.
Praise be to God. It is a mystery that we can have something to us that the Word of God has promised. And that is what gives us consolation. Praise be to God. Let's come to paragraph 129. It is the principal theme of the Bible. It was the prophets. It was the prophets. We know it was the prophets. The prophets came and represented him partly. Each prophet represented a portion of Christ. They were part of Christ, they were portion, but Christ was the fullness. And that is why he was called God of the prophets. It was in the Psalms. It was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there you find Christ. It was in the prophets. It was in the Psalms. It was in history. And also in the Bible. Is the thing that is to come. So it was before and till after. What does that make him then? The same yesterday and today and forever. And you inject something in there, that doesn't make him the same yesterday, today and forever. Brother Lee, where do you go to? You got an awful picture there. For it was the history, see? And when we say it was the history today was the promise of God at a time that God had brought to pass. History was the fulfilled promise of God at a time. God made that promise, like a virgin shall give birth to a son, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. It was a prophecy before. When it was fulfilled, then after that it became a mystery. So we refer to it today as history. Not history taught in the school. That history is part of the Bible. And we have prophecies that are meant for today, and there are still prophecies meant for tomorrow. And when we say tomorrow, we are talking about the future. Praise be to God. So it's history. See, it was the history. And that is Christ. It was the history. Where am I? Yeah, he was the history. See, and he is the prophet. He is the Psalms. He is everything. And if you can't make him everything, and the same is the same, where, what's your picture look like? Do you see it? He is the thing. He was the prophet. He was the prophet. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And he is the things to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're starting it, if you are writing it down, it should be then, it should be the principle. If that's what it is, and we believe it, don't we? Then if he is that, then it should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our works. Amen. It should be the principal theme of our life. If he is the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then it should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think. Should be Christ. Is that right? Since we think this, since he has been made the head of all things to us, the Colossians say so. Here, he is the head of all things to us. For he was made for us, which we are considered all things. We are considered all things. You say, what about the sinners? He was made to be the judge of the sinners if he doesn't accept it. He was made the glory for the believers who does accept it. So, all things were made by him and from him. Praise be to God. Now, in the sermon key to the door, the prophet in paragraph 52. Somehow we'll do it. Now we read in St. John, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I am the door to this sheepfold. I am the door. Not a door. I am the door. The door. The only door. I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. I am the door to the sheepfold. And all that comes before me is enemies, thieves, and robbers. He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the door to salvation. There is no other name given under heaven whereby you must to be saved only through the name of Jesus Christ. No church, no denomination, no creed, no doctrine of anything. Only Jesus Christ's name. That is the key. No wonder Peter could use one of them on the days of Pentecost. They wanted to know how to get into the door, into that door. He used the key. And there's only one key, because there is just one door. I am the door. And Peter had the key to it, and he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the treasures of God. It's the key to the door. Is Jesus is the door. There's only one door to healing, and Jesus is that door. There's only one door to peace. Yeah, my peace I give unto you is only one door to genuine peace. You might think you got peace. You might accumulate enough money to buy you home, to buy your home. You might accumulate enough money to buy your children clothes, have food to eat. But you might have accumulated enough popularity to be popular among the people. But when you slip off your shoes at night and get ready to lay down, there's only one thing can give you peace. That is, if you know you were dying that night, there's only one peace, and that's Jesus is the peace. He is our peace. He is our healing. Is the Lord thy God that healeth all your diseases. It is the door to heaven. And there is no other door or no other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the door to heaven. And now Jesus is the door to all these things. The faith is the key to that unlocks the door. The faith is the key that unlocks the door. Praise be to God. In everything that God has given us, God has not left us to struggle on our own. Everything that we have need of as God's children, He has provided. He has provided. But we only have access to those things by faith. They are available. It's by faith that we can have access, that we can enjoy. We can live under privileged life. When we don't have the amount of faith we should have to apply to redemptive blessings. Let's have behind our mind, I don't know if we have a picture. I think we have a preach on this sometimes ago. Maybe not as the directly on the key. There's a door. There's a house with a door. I think if it's there, can you just project it for us so that we use it too? And if it's not there, it's not this, but just leave it. Thank you. That's not what I... This is for Jesus knocking at the door. But Jesus at the door here is not the one we want to talk about. It's not Jesus that is knocking at the door. That very door is Jesus now. So to now enter inside that place, the door is locked. For you to enter that place, you need a key to enter there. Like you know today, if you want to enter some smart houses, when we say smart houses, houses that are built with technology, modern technology, electronics, as you're approaching the door opens on its own. Once you get to a certain distance,
to that door.
It has a sensor.
It senses human beings coming, or sometimes they will place something here on the floor. Once you match it, it activates something on the door, and then it opens for you. You don't need to pull anything on your own. Once you step it, it just opens. You go. And then once nobody is coming again, the door collapses on its own and closes. It's not this door that we are talking. Because everybody, wanted and unwanted person, will enter there. As long as you can keep that place and the door raises. But when you now enter into that house, sometimes there are places you enter, they give you a card. You have to slot that card to a facility that is installed by the side of that door. If you forget that card, you can't have access to the house. That sounds like the key. They don't give you a physical key that you will inside. You will not even see any knob on the door. You will not see any latch on it. You just put the key and the door just, the door just opens and then you enter. Or sometimes some of them will have a latch. Once you put it, there will be a beam. The light will beam, and then you press something, you go in. Smart doors. But that's not what we are talking about. We're talking about a key. The prophet said this key, it takes a strong hand to hold it. Faith is that key. And we must use it. That key is faith. And that faith must be applied to God's promises. When it is applied to the door and we turn it, the door opens. If it is the right key, and the right key is faith.
All right, let's...
He is our healing. Paragraph 55 of the same sermon. He is our healing. I am the Lord, thy God, I heal all thy diseases. He is the door to heaven. And there is no other door or no other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the door to heaven. And now Jesus is the door to all these things. And faith is the key that unlocks the door. Now, if Jesus is the door to all these promises of God, inside the house where the door, where the house that is locked with the door, all redemptive blessings that the promise of God has given us, the redemptive blessings are identified by the scriptures. Are you following me? When we talk about redemptive blessings, what are the redemptive blessings? What are the redemptive blessings? Salvation. Salvation is in there. It's in Christ. Healing is there. Protection is there. Deliverance is there. Joy is there. Peace is there. All that the death of Christ has afforded us is there. So it takes this faith to access it. And now Jesus is the door to all these things, and faith is the key that unlocks the door. Now, if Jesus is the door of all these promises of God, faith in his finished work unlocks every door to every treasure there is inside the kingdom of God. See, faith is the key that unlocks every promise he makes. The key faith does that. The key of faith does that. Faith in his finished work. It is these keys that we are speaking of. Now in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I got a great string of them written down here, of these heroes of faith. It was the key to the door that stopped the mouth of lion by faith. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11. That's what I said, by faith, by faith, by faith. It was the faith that stopped the mouth of lions. It was the key, faith, that unlocked the prison houses. It was faith. Prison houses. Where is that one? That's the New Testament. Where Peter was locked up somewhere here, expecting to be killed the next time, the next day by Herod. And then Paul and Silas, where they were locked there, an earthquake happened. And then
It was faith. Faith that unlocked the prison houses. It was faith, the key of faith, that quenched the violence of fire. Who are those people? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword. Brought the dead back to life again. It was faith. The key of faith in the living God. That hand, that man, that woman, who can take that key of faith, they can unlock every promise God made. But if you haven't got that key, what is that key? Faith. So in other words, if you haven't got that faith, you are just probing. You will never unlock it. That's what unlocks it. Door to salvation. It is the faith in the finished work of Christ. The faith you need for salvation is what you need for healing. It is God coming to anoint that faith that you... It is not everybody that got healing through Jesus Christ. It is not everybody that got healing through the prophet that are believers. You will even follow, you will follow it in the time of Christ that not everybody that followed him that received miracles, that received healing, eventually were part of 120 that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Are you following me? That is why the prophet told us that we must have intellectual faith first. That faith that you as a person have is intellectual. It is God coming to anoint it, to change it to the faith of God by the Holy Ghost. But that faith must be there first. And that faith is what many people have, the sinners. And that was why you will hear the prophet talking to them that for you to maintain your healing, you need to become what? To become a Christian. Are you here? Because faith is permanently dwelling in the heart of a Christian. So many people that will come to the prophet that were not, that were sinners, that were not believers, the prophet will tell them that, well, you have to become a Christian to maintain your healing, not to receive your healing. There are many people who came to prayer who are not believers, who got their healings. And the prophet even told us that even unbelievers, sinners can have faith more than believers. And they get their, even in prayer lines. But for you to maintain your healing, you have to become a Christian. Because the prophet said, healing is in you. Praise be to God. So, it takes the faith to unlock it. It takes faith for you to get the promise of God fulfilled in your life. Whether old, whether young, whether male or female, it is the same. There's no discrimination. There's no standard for the male, there's no standard for the female, there's no standard for the young, there's no standard for the old. Everybody must have that faith to come unto him. You will beat against it because... And any correct made key has levers on the inside of the lock. And it takes a certain form, a certain shape of them keys to turn those levers. And just one little lever out of the way, we mess the whole thing up. Therefore, I believe in the full gospel, every word of God, that turns the power of God loose, that turns his blessings to the people. It is the key to the door that unlocks it. Oh, those great heroes, those prophets and great men of the Bible, that had their key. That's the reason they could stop the mouth of lion, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, bring the dead back to life again, and do all kinds of miracles. It's because they had that key, and they know it worked, because it was a scripture-born key. Now, this faith we talk about, that was is so important to the believer. That is why it is the beginning of the growth of a Christian. A man does not start the journey of Christianity without this faith, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I say that this faith that we are talking about, if somebody that is not yet a Christian must have a faith that is not the faith of the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is the faith of the Son of God that knows no defeat.
As we move this one now, let me just conclude this and then we'll move to something else. It's the key to the door that unlocks it. Oh, those great heroes. Okay? I think we are done here. Now, paragraph 61. Now, if I am propping with a key, with a crit key, I don't know what it's going to do. If they say, my church teaches this, I don't know what about that. But when the Bible teaches it, and I hold the faith key in my hand, on in my heart, that says, that is God's word. That will quench the violence of fire. It will unlock healing for the sick. It will unlock salvation to the lost. I have to come to the door, everything in his name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in his name. Knowing that the key that you got is faith, because it is a scripture made key. Now, if it is a creed key, denominational key, I don't know what it will do. But if it is a scriptural key, it will unlock because God says so. Now, no wonder they could stop the violence of fire and so forth. They had the key. Praise be to God. Now, this faith, when we have it, the prophet told us that it is this faith that keeps us constantly persevering. It is this faith that keeps us constantly persevering. It is this faith that keeps us consistent with God. It is this faith that will not allow us to succumb to Satan's suggestions, to his ideas, to his opinion. It is this faith. And the prophet made us to know that this faith does not take no for an answer. Anything that is negative, because God is always positive. Anything that is negative, it is not God that is saying it, like we're hearing in the morning. Anything that is negative, it does not come from God. So this faith will not take no for an answer. Anything that is contrary to what God has promised in his word, no matter who is trying to explain it, is that faith will not accept it. That faith will hold strong to God's promises, even though he has not seen it manifest. The prophet told us that faith is a binocular, like a binocular. A binocular is what you see, used to see an object that is far away from you. It's far away. A long distance. Faith sees what God wants you to do. Faith sees the will of God. Not that he sees it, he believes it, and is ready to carry it out. That's the essence of faith. Faith goes with grace. When it is revealed, the grace to do it is given. High priest of our confession. The prophet told us that everything, now we're talking about the key. Here, the prophet told us that anything that God has promised in his word, redemptive blessing, if you, as a person, you are asking God to do it for you, whether healing, whether salvation, whether provision of needs, whatsoever, the prophet said, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. And I want us to listen very, very closely. These are divine instructions from the prophet and from the scripture. The prophet interpreted that is the high priest of our confession. In the Bible, you will not see the word confession. You will see profession. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. The high priest of our profession. The problem is that profession and confession means the same thing. You see, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. The problem is that word profession there means confession. And then hear what it says here. In God's covenant with Abraham, preaching 1956, April 28th. God's covenant with Abraham, preaching 1956, April 28th. Jesus, the high priest, can't do a thing for you till first you confess it
and act on your confession. Jesus, the high priest, can't do a thing for you till first you confess it and act on your confession. Then you have to believe it first. Hebrews, the third chapter, said he is the high priest of our confession. The world professed, but professed and confessed are the same word. High priest of our confession. He can't do nothing till first you accept it and confess that he has done it. That is right. You know what that means? I need healing. I was sick. I needed healing in my body. I needed strength in my body. I needed whatever that would make me a perfect heavy man. And feeling weak, feeling tired, feeling this. Just like we had in the morning, don't look at the symptom. Look at the promise. He says that he's the high priest of our confession. The prophet said, now you have to believe that Jesus Christ has done it. Everything that we will need is not what God is doing. He has done them. It's like the prophet used an example of if a man has money in the bank, so rich, has money in the bank, and the children come to him, he just to write a check and give to them. But the problem is, the kind of check God has written to us, written and given to us, he has signed it, and it's a blank check. Go and feel what you want there. You feel what you want. Okay, if a man is a trillionaire, his wealth is still limited. He's limited to a trillion. There's still some counting that is more than trillion. So it's still limited, but it's a great human being on the earth. Maybe will be the richest in the world. Trillion. If he writes a check and he looks at you and says, okay, go and I give you a black writes and say, go and write what you want. You will write it with caution. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know that he's a trillionaire. You cannot ask for all the trillion. Because you also be afraid that let the check bounce back. You will be cautious of what you are going to write. But still, the man that has written, has signed a blank check and given it to you, you know that he's a trustworthy person. You will just go and sit down and look at all your needs. From now until the 20 years, and calculate everything and multiply it by 20. In case of inflation. And then you write it there. When it gets to the bank, it won't bounce. You come back, you get it. How much more God? God has fountain that is inexhaustible. See, we are not just repeating this. We are used to hearing them, isn't it? But they must make impact. They must make meaning. And that is why I started talking about Adam and talking about Abel and Cain. It must mix with faith in us. As we are hearing, it must mix with faith in us. Because that is, it is when it is mixed with faith that it benefits us. When it's not mixed with faith, we just hear it. And then we can just rejoice, we can react. We can react here and say, oh, wonderful, God has promised all good things. But now to take steps to apply it and wait until it is materialized, that's a work. That's because we have been given this privilege. The prophet that's telling us is not lying. God has an inexhaustible fountain. There is nothing that I, as a person, will need from heart to glory. In fact, in one of the psalms I was reading, the prophet said that everything that you have need from heart to glory is already taken care of. Everything. Not only healing, because not only salvation. After salvation, you will survive. After healing, you will survive. There are other things you need beside that. But those are the major things. But since he has asked us not to care, not to worry about those things, he has taken care of those things. And it is by faith we will access it. And that's why the principle, when the prophet was interpreting Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, thereabout, and say, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be knocked unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened. And he that seeketh shall do what? Shall find. That's a law of asking and receiving. The law of seeking and getting. The law of knocking and having the door open. You cannot sit down there, I'm expecting somebody and the door to be knocked for somebody to open the door. Some people will even hard to eat. By the time they knock at the door, they say, "Coco, coco, coco." After knocking at the door, they will still put voice there. They want the person inside to hear that, look, somebody is by the door. Knocking. And when the prophet was interpreting it in questions on the seals, the prophet said, it means knock it. He that ask it. The prophet said, constantly. You don't stop. You keep, he said, knock it in continuous form. You keep knocking. Bah. 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 And you keep asking. And you keep seeking. Then you will find.
Let me give a testimony. It's long. Before I got a job at Wobble College, when I was teaching there in those days, I was with Tiara. So, but I felt at that time that I needed additional income. So, I've been praying. So one day, I've written my application letter, and something just directed me to Bodija. If you know Bovas, that's the street of Bovas. Petas FF. Where Wobruk was not far from Petas at that time. So something just directed me to that place. I've never seen that school before. I've not heard of it before. It was in that place, Wobruk College. Before it became big school, Asamada, it was at Bodija there at the back of. So from home, I've written my letter. I've been praying for a teaching job and the rest of it. So something just places in my mind to go out. I just went around Bodija, around the place I was going. So suddenly I got to that road. I was just directed to enter that road. When I got there, I saw a school there. And I look at the school, I knock at the door. The gate man opened the door, I went inside. I said, what do I want? I said, I wanted to apply. Okay, I should go in. So they took me to the principal's office. So I said, I'm here to apply. I said, for what? I said, geography. And they look at themselves. The geography teacher just left. The geography teacher just left there, and they were looking for a geography teacher. And they have not put advertisement outside. They told me, they said, who told me? And I said, nobody told me. I said, I'm a Christian. That I pray. And I was just led to come here. So they look at my application and rest of it. I started work the next day. Either when you pray, that is a law, you must seek. You follow up. If I sat at home and I kept praying, I did not go out to knock, I did not go out to ask, I did not go out to seek for what I am asking. Well, perhaps the experiences that I got there, I won't get them. And the influences I had on them, they will not, in day of judgment, they will know that somebody called Joshua passed through their midst. Yeah. So, that's the principle of God's word. It's the law of God's word. If we don't follow it, we will not have testimony that we should have. God is good, God is gracious, God is merciful. We are not talking about crookedness.
God is against crookedness, unrighteousness. God is against it. We are talking about God giving you his blessings. Not a blessing that is gotten, he's gotten. We are talking about blessing that God gives you on his own. You ask for it and God directs you to it. He gives you joy. You have a testimony to give. So we must believe God's word. We must apply it. God is good. He's faithful to his promises.
Well, as we are talking, that time is also going.
The problem is you can't do nothing till first you accept it and confess that he has done it for you. Now, in whatsoever we are asking God, whatsoever we have asked God, what the prophet is telling us there is that, Lord, I thank you.
Let me read an example for you. Let's move forward. In the psalm of expectations and leading of the Spirit, it's just a single psalm. Expectations and leading of the Spirit. Expectations and leading of the Spirit. Paragraph 9. And now in my ministry, I am going to pray for the sick, and I don't aim to preach, but just a little bit. Because I just got through preaching a long service this afternoon. I'd like to kind of explain the background. My contention is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's my contention too. The Bible says that, and I believe he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's got to be the same in principle, in power, and every way. The only way that he is could not be the same in his corporal body. That's it. His corporal body says on the throne for a bleeding sacrifice before the throne of his majesty to make intercessions upon our confession. He cannot help us until we confess it first. Confess what he has done. If we ask for healing, until you see the healing, that's what the problem is saying. He cannot help us, he cannot heal us, he cannot save us until we confess it. You that you are asking God for Holy Ghost baptism, begin to say, God, I thank you because you are giving me the Holy Ghost. And then you wait for the personal experience before you come and give testimony. But you keep confessing it. Lord, I thank you because this promise of the Holy Ghost baptism you are fulfilling in my life. Thank you because this promise of healing that you are fulfilling it. This area of my problem, thank you because you have solved the problem. You have provided for my needs here. This need that I'm having, thank you, Lord, because you have constantly let that be our song. Yoruba so wipe onto ba du eyan lo po ni oro e. So from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you are preoccupied in your mind with your spiritual needs, with your physical needs, with your every other need that you have, you will constantly communicate with God. And since you know the principle of the Bible, that you must confess it before it's come manifested. And that is why the prophet also tells us that God will make your body. When you keep confessing it like that, you keep confessing it like, God, I thank you because you have healed me. Lord, I thank you because you have saved me. Lord, I thank you because you have delivered me. You have set me free. You have removed the hand of the devil from my life. You have set me from this. You have answered my prayer in this area. I thank you. I'm waiting for testimony. When we do that, then the prophet concludes by saying that from show us the Father, or maybe let me just quote the years for you. 59 April 19, preaching the evening. Maybe we conclude from this. Show us the Father, and it will suffice us. It will satisfy us. The thing to do is know that you are coming to fulfill a promise that God made you. I'm reading from paragraph 71. Yeah, the thing to do is know that you are coming to fulfill a promise that God made you. When you are coming to God to ask for anything, you must know that, okay, what I'm asking for is a promise of God. If it is healing, I'm the Lord that healed you of all that diseases.
is the Lord that I'm the Lord that healed all the diseases. By his stripes I was healed. Yes.
We've been healed. We are not going to be healed. He has healed us. It's our faith that we activate it. So we keep confessing that, Lord, thank you because you have done this for me. Let me tell you, whatever request
is under this that we are saying.
Any request.
And there are no requests that you have that the seven compound names of Jehovah do not capture. Go and look at it. Go see, there's none.
Everything
is captured by God. All his promises. So you are coming to fulfill a promise or promises. If you have more than one need that you are presenting to God, Lord, I need provision. You will promise that you are the Lord, that the Lord my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If it's a journey you want to make, you commit your journey to the Lord, you promise to preserve our going and our coming. You are coming to fulfill a promise when you are coming to ask God for anything. So the thing to do is know that you are coming to fulfill the promise that God made you. There are going to be 1,000 of people praying for you. And when you come by this line where we pray, lay hands on you, just as soon as hands are laid on you, you are just like rising them up out of the water of being baptized. You have done something that God gave you a promise what will happen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You go right out of this building testifying that you are saved. What if you go out of the building saying that, well, I don't know. Then you are not saved. But God will make your body obey your confession. Now, it is not you that will make your body obey your confession. The prophet said, God. The prophet said, God. And is the word of the prophet. God will make your body from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes to obey what you use your mouth to confess. If it is negative, your body will respond to it. If the promises of, if what you are confessing is God's connect, God's promises, God will make your body to obey that. It will be subject to the promises you are claiming. These are divine instructions. God will make your body obey. In another place, he said, he will make your body subject to your confession. Well, I don't know. Then you are not saved, but God will make your body obey your confession. See? And he is the high priest of our confession. Before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you are healed. And then when you believe you are healed, God makes your body obey your confession. Not only healing, every other promise that you want God to fulfill in your life. It does. So now when you come by here, just let it be settled. Say, God, this is your command. I believe in him. I believe I am healed. Walk off the platform and say, and then something ended. Praise be to God. Faith is the one that activates God's word. It's the one that makes us to see in reality. It's the one that makes us to stand against every other thing that is contrary to what that word is saying. If the body is saying something different like we had in the morning, faith will tell you that it's already done. Faith will tell you it's already done. So then you confess positive. And confess positive. When you confess positive, then God will go walking in your system. He put the body together. Then he will make that word that had the power of transformation. The word of God has power to transform. When that word sinks into your soul, God will quicken it. Then is what will come to pass. May the Lord be our help. God bless you. Let's think on these things that we bow down our heads. Our God is not a deceiver. It's not Satan that we tell people to come and take and they withdraw his hand back and say, oh, I don't mean it.
God has proven himself to be faithful, to be reliable, to be trustworthy. The enemy's intention is to disprove that by bringing unbelief into the hearts of the people. But let's find grace to trust God. The way to have faith is to keep praying, taking the ladder, Jacob's ladder. Faith by hearing God's word constantly, feeding on the word of God, because what you feed your heart with will influence what comes of your mouth, will influence what you desire. There is none of us here that does not have a testimony, one testimony of the other, of the faithfulness of God. But let it be that we take these instructions. He's the high priest of our confession. We have to confess it, believe it, and confess that he has done it. And then God will make your body obey what he has promised. While I invite the associate to come and conclude.
As we bring the service to a close, we just add about the Lord that guides the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's by it that the elders obtained a good report. If they are coming to God, must believe that he is. And it's a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this faith is so important that we can't achieve or get anything without it. The scripture that Jesus Christ, when he got to his hometown, they couldn't do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Unbelief, the prophet says, is a curse. Faith is a deliverer. Faith is the one that has the floor. And there is faith that has air on the chest, that takes no for an answer. That faith is what we need in any situation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much this evening again for your goodness and your mercies upon us. We have sat again and listened to your word, re-echoed back unto us. Dear Father, Lord, this can never be overemphasized, because without it, we can't get anywhere. We are asking that you give understanding of what you have had to every one of us and give revelation of the same. We are reminded that this lack of this spiritual understanding that made Cain to offer an unacceptable offering unto God. But Abel, by faith, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Your prophet said that we can only have faith as God gives us faith. And you have told us to come and ask because we will receive. But we have to realize our need before we can ask. Until something becomes a need to us, they will not have the faith to ask for it. Help us as individuals. Where our faith is weak, may you increase it, Heavenly Father. Take away every unbelief. Help us to think of how big you are. Because you are bigger than anything. You are bigger than our situation. You are bigger than our need. You are bigger than our problem. Not only that, your fountain is inexhaustible. You have resources enough to satisfy every being on earth, no matter what the need is. Be it spiritual, physical, material, financial, earthwise. You have done special things in our generation by creating what does not exist. You are proving, O God, that you can do all things. This Bible really become a new book in our generation. Every testimony inside of this Bible was repeated in this our day. We don't have, O God, any reason to doubt. We don't have any excuse. May you help us, Heavenly Father. Increase our faith. This time when, O God, you are expecting your children to do exploits for you, may none of us have jellyfish faith. Give us the faith that have on the chest, that has backbone, that can stand with your promises in our heart and in our mouth, re-echoing it, repeating it to ourselves, knowing that you are bigger than every situation, and you are going to prove this word. That's why your prophet said that the word of God will defeat Satan anytime, anywhere, and under any circumstances. Help us, dear Father, and increase our faith. Day by day, may our faith grow stronger, Lord. Your prophet told us of the dream that somebody had when he saw the devil came and did pull unto him, and he jumped back. He said he realized after a few times that as he jumped back, he got smaller and the devil got bigger, and he discovered that he has to fight this fellow. Therefore, he has to summon courage to also charge back by saying boo. And when he did it, he discovered it was bigger and the enemy was smaller. When he now got the key, then he repeated that several times until the devil was almost out completely. It's another simple way you have told us in our generation. Dear Father, when the enemy come in whichever way, may we not shack back, Lord. The strength, the courage, the ability, the revelation to be able to pull the devil, give to every one of us, dear Father. Because we are your children. We are not Satan's children. We are your children. You brought us here, Lord, to fulfill a purpose, and that to serve you and to please you. And Lord, while we are doing that, there are things we need on the surface of the earth here. We need good health. We need your provisions. We need your blessings. We need several things, oh Father. And you have enough resources to cater for all of them. We humbly present them before you at this hour. The courage we have need of, give to every one of us to say boo to the devil until we vanish out of our sight. Grant it, Heavenly Father. The things we have learned tonight, may the enemy not pick them out of our hearts. May we have the grace to be able to make use of them when they are needed, dear Father. May your word dwell richly in our heart. May they form our meditation. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. All we have received today, may they be permanent in our life. We request that you bless your servant you have just used. May you recall him. May you redeem his strength. May you lift up the honor of his ministry and that of the rest of your servant. The servant that went over Kattari, taking the old services of the day, may you be his strength, dear Father. This is a new week that we have just started. We present ourselves before you, having been privileged to stay in your house throughout the day. O Master, may we go and be thunderbolts for the enemy, to represent you correctly as your true ambassadors, as your witnesses, anywhere we will find ourselves. May this be full of your blessings in our life. Wherever you go, may your presence go with us. We pray for students, we pray for workers, business people. May you prosper your people. Watch over travelers, O God. Lord, we pray, O mighty God, for people who are sick, that you touch their body and perfect their health. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Every special situation, may you act specially in their midst, Lord. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. If you are still here by Wednesday, may you bring us again in our numbers. May you send your blessings again, Lord. Thank you, Father. Take us back to our homes tonight. Give us a wonderful night rest. May we enjoy every hour of the night. Lord, may we wake up tomorrow morning strong and healthy, Lord, to the praise and the glory of your name. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. All that you have used today to bring your blessings unto us, Lord, in one way or the other, whether in prayer, whether in leading songs, whether in using of instruments, singing of special number, giving testimonies, whatever your children have contributed, one way or the other, to make the services today a blessing. May you bless them back, oh God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. We thank the Lord for making today's services possible for us and for his blessings unto us. God bless you richly. Is that the brass? Sorry, I think you already have those things. All right. God bless you. Shall we rise? 2, 2, 2. Let's take the name of Jesus with us, with the blessings. The name of Jesus, we give you.